The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Okay, so I was in fifth grade, and my mom got me a perm.
Oh, so awesome. All right.
And I look like Little Orphan Annie. Start of the school year, and I am doing one of the tasks, you know, where you walk from classroom to classroom and you collect attendance sheets.
Chenny, why is it that Tracy Marcinko's curls were ruined when she got hosed down?
Because they got wet.
Exactly. Because isn't it the first cardinal rule of perm maintenance that you're forbidden to wet your hair for at least 24 hours after getting a perm at the risk of deactivating the ammonium thioglycolate?
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So I walk into, I'm in fifth grade, you guys. I walk into the seventh grade classroom and grab the attendance sheet from the teacher.
And wouldn't somebody who's had, say, 30 perms before in their life be well aware of this rule? And if, in fact, you weren't washing your hair, as I suspect you weren't because your curls are still intact, wouldn't you have heard the gunshot?
And a kid from the back of the classroom goes, "Holy crap, look at her hair!"
And if, in fact, you had heard the gunshot, Brooke Windham wouldn't have had time to hide the gun before you got downstairs, which would mean that you would have had to have found Mrs. Windham with a gun in her hand to make your story plausible. Isn't that right?
And I immediately started crying.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans.
It is officially official. Packers will not be in the Big Easy for their game against the New Orleans Saints. Yesterday it was announced your Green Bay Packers will in fact be in Chewy's favorite state.
FLA.
It is your favorite state, right? I was just guessing, but ooh.
It's my favorite state. Probably 7 months of the year.
What is your favorite state the other months of the year?
Wisconsin, okay. As they call it in Massachusetts.
So if 7 months
how
of the year your favorite state is Florida, how many months of the year is your favorite state Wisconsin?
There's still 12, right?
It's not like the
NFL
season.
They didn't go to 13 months like the NFL.
Well, we collectively bargained with the weather. We've added another month.
Yes, in fact, they will be in Florida. They will be in Jacksonville. And Gabe sent a great article yesterday to our ESPN Milwaukee crew, our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy crew's text chain, explaining why exactly they were going to Jacksonville. Because, again, the thought was that maybe they'd be in Dallas, right? But we talked yesterday about La Bamba and Los Lobos.
Los Bukis.
Yeah, I know. Just... Buki takes me to another place. I know I shouldn't, but it does.
Okay? All right, let me ask you guys this.
Don't act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Everyone knows what I'm talking about.
Buki?
Chewy, please continue.
And the players run this through their heads. And let me ask you three what you would choose. Would you rather play in a temperature-controlled 75 degrees but loud as hell, or... not very loud, and a heat index of 95.
I think I take
what
the noise.
What would you choose?
I think I take the noise.
What am I, the home team? Am I the away team?
You're the away team. You're the Packers.
Yeah, no, clearly the heat.
That's what I would take.
Yeah,
Ashy?
Clearly.
I take the heat.
Yeah. I don't know. With Aaron Rodgers under center?
Too many other factors.
Aaron Rodgers thrives in domes, you guys.
I know,
or at least he had.
So
I don't know if
annoying.
His numbers are still the same.
Yeah, but also, like, you know what else he thrives?
Hard count, I know.
Like, he's made the hard cart famous. Like,
hard cart.
Hard, whatever. But he gets people to jump off sides, he gets free plays, he can communicate.
Yeah, like, the heat's not a big deal as long as you're hydrated.
So you're saying this is actually a win for the Green Bay Packers?
I would say.
I think we should put that on the poll.
If you pulled most players, well, the defense, it really doesn't matter, though. So the defense would probably rather play in the controlled climate.
Hey, right? Who's having a fun time opening the article right now? Is anybody else getting stuck behind a paywall? Yesterday it was not behind a paywall, but today it's behind a paywall.
Not great, Bob.
All of us Green Bay Packers fans who wanted to read the article explaining what happened behind the scenes to get the Saints versus Packers game in Jacksonville. They realized that there was a lot of traffic headed to that article, and they were like, stick it behind a wall. Because I cannot read it now. But there were a number of things that went into it. And of course, you know, maintaining and preserving home field advantage was one of them for the New Orleans Saints. Their point was, first of all, of course, we asked this on the show yesterday. Why not just go to Lambeau? Why not just Lambeau's open? Nothing going on up there. Why not just go to Lambeau? But of course, the Saints don't want to give up home field advantage.
Well, if you gave them two, like I said yesterday, they might consider it, right?
It's not college
BOGO.
Football, man.
It's BOGO. It's like when I used to go to Payless. BOGO. So that was part of it, not wanting to give up home field advantage. And then, of course, you mentioned the heat. The Saints feel the heat gives them an advantage.
It does. It does. We played in Tampa Bay. See, normally what they would do, because people probably forget or don't even know that Tampa Bay used to be in our division.
I remember that.
Yeah, but I bet a lot of people don't. And I think that ended, when did that ended? Probably late
90s? Early 2000s. Yeah, when the Browns came in.
If we played in Tampa Bay early, and there was one year we played right out of the gate, I think it was in the Super Bowl year.
96.
Then they wouldn't stick them in the brutal cold in Wisconsin. But there were times that they would stick them in the brutal cold here, a December game, and we would go down there in November where it's still pretty hot. So it'll be a factor, but it won't be a very big factor.
So from this article from NOLA.com.
Oh,
they also,
are you able to read it?
I'm just remembering it from yesterday.
Oh, good job.
They also discussed like how difficult they wanted to make it as difficult as possible for Packer fans to travel.
Correct.
Not saying the Packer fans still won't go through hoops to be able to go to this game and try to give the Packers some sort of home field advantage, but flights from Green Bay to Jacksonville like had the most. There aren't any direct flights.
No, no.
So they looked that far into it versus Tampa versus Miami, because once they realized, you know, they weren't going to be able to do it in Dallas, they honed in on the state of Florida, and Jacksonville was where they, you know, decided ultimately to do it.
I mean, just think about going to those measures to see what puts you at the best chance of winning, right? Like, you want to keep Green Bay Packers fans out of the stands, so you look at Expedia, I believe is what they did. They looked at Expedia.com to see what would be the most difficult from a price standpoint and from a travel standpoint for Packers fans. And because some of the other options, of course, were Miami, Tampa Bay, and Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, who doesn't want to go to Miami, right? This is like when Badgers fans travel to the Rose Bowl. Who doesn't want to go to California in January? So that was the point, was like, well, let's not incentivize Packers fans to travel. And of the three, Miami, Tampa Bay, and Jacksonville, they thought, they're probably not as interested in going to Jacksonville. So I found this fascinating yesterday that all of this thought went into preserving some sort of home field advantage for the Saints. I mean, again, you only have 17 games. So, yeah, you have to preserve those home games even if you've been displaced from your home stadium.
When's the last time you put that much thought into any decision? Because it seems like they thought about every single
angle. I will say this, though, because my in-laws live in just south of Jacksonville. In St. Augustine, it's probably to the stadium a 40-minute drive, and it's a pain to get there. It's a pain. What we normally would do is fly into Orlando, and then it's probably an hour and a half drive there. Because don't forget, September this time of year is still thunderstorms down there.
Yeah.
You know? So you're talking delayed flight, connection. So it's actually pretty smart on their part.
Well, and Fox didn't want to move the game to Saturday either, because they've got the big Oregon-Ohio State game on Saturday, and they know that that's going to draw huge numbers as we continue to roll into the college football season. So again, if you haven't gotten a chance to read the article, sorry about that, because yesterday it was free to all, and today it's behind a paywall. These paywalls, I totally understand them, but in this instance, okay, I'm not going to read it's the Picayune or something like that. It's the New Orleans.
The Times Picayune?
I don't know. It's NOLA.com, so I'm not even sure what it is.
Chewy was right.
Yeah,
holy Chewy was right.
The article, I think, with our good friend Dick Cox. The sheriff of...
He's a lieutenant.
He's a lieutenant, Chewie.
Show him some damn respect.
Not my friend, by the way. This is your friend. I'm not familiar with this gentleman, but
you weren't here. Was she here?
She was not.
Oh, that's a shame.
Lieutenant Richard Cox was the arresting officer when Brett Favre got into a bar fight that also involved his future wife, a former Packers player, before he had even played a single game for the Green Bay Packers. Recently, after he was traded to the Green Bay Packers, he got in a little bit of trouble down in New Orleans.
This feels like a segment that we're building here. This is a what did I miss segment here, right? Like, anytime you guys fill me in on something that happened when I was gone,
if you happen to miss it, you can catch it. Wherever you get your podcasts for free, WisconsinOnDemand.com, because if we redo that segment, Ashton is going to have a nervous breakdown. I don't know how or why, but Ashton was participating in this segment.
So funny. I can't imagine he does it again.
This was probably the closest we ever thought that we were going to be sent to the principal's office.
Really?
Is that because I shortened Dr. Richard A. Head's name and actually said it on the radio?
Yep.
We did the best Richard names out there, and we came up with a whole freaking show. It was a couple segments, wasn't it?
I mean, it was at least an hour, the whole half of the show, right?
It was at least an hour. Yeah.
She's got an uncle, which was probably the best one.
Yeah, it
you
is
know
the
her
best
maiden
one.
Name?
Yeah.
Goff.
Mm-hmm.
Her uncle's name was Jack.
No, come on.
You want him on the show?
Mm-mm. Yeah, call him up.
No, we can't.
Why?
Because then I would have to say the name over and over and over again.
Isn't that the point? Isn't that what we're after here?
Yeah, you guys thought it would be better if Jen was here for that show. No, as I said, it would have been worse.
Yes, it would have been worse.
800-990-3776. That's our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. It's how you can get a hold of us. It's how you can participate in the show. And I think what Chewy said earlier is fascinating. Would you rather have the noise of the dome, the Superdome, where you know it's going to be kind of a hostile environment, or the heat in Jacksonville? Now, I think Packers fans are going to travel. I think, to be honest with you, they have cast a challenge. They have put a challenge out there for Wisconsin sports fans. They have said, we tried to make it as difficult as possible for y'all to get down to this game, knowing you won't fly to Jacksonville. And I think the Packers fans should be like, ho, 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 ho! Little do you know how much we love our team.
Now, the drive from New Orleans to Jacksonville is probably 6.
Wait, but they're not in New Orleans now, aren't they in Dallas?
I'm saying from a fan standpoint.
I don't even know that there are fans in New Orleans right now. Like, I don't know what the level of displacement is for people in that area.
Okay.
Right? Like, probably they all have kind of scattered.
It'll be loaded with Packer fans. I believe. Because there's a ton of Packer fans in Florida. I remember back in the day, I think early in my career, the Sombrero, which is where they used to play, was literally 50-50. And they were upset, and then they put restrictions in place, so that would never happen again. But my guess is I bet it'll be 50-50.
I'm curious to see how they handle the ticketing here, because clearly, like, you got to go to your season ticket holders. They'll probably have to say, no, we don't want tickets. Yes, we want tickets. And then you figure out how you're selling the rest of the tickets from there.
I bet it'll be 50-50. Bless you.
Thank you.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So 50-50 is a win for Green Bay then, right?
Without a doubt.
Yes.
So again, your plan has been foiled.
What about grass versus turf? Not a big deal anymore?
I don't think it's as big of a deal, unless you're in Chicago.
Is that grass? Do we consider that grass?
I mean, it's
painted
it's something.
Dirt.
What did Jay Cutler call it all those years ago? A cow pasture? Said it was basically a cow pasture. Hey, I'm not disagreeing with him on that one. It's terrible, terrible surface.
Like, how does the NFL, like, as meticulous as they are about everything?
Well, yes, great point, because we just talked about how they have a stipulation. Yesterday, we were debating back and forth. We weren't sure what the stipulation was, but this beautiful article that we cannot access any longer did go into why, in fact, you have to play at an NFL stadium. And it wasn't necessarily field conditions. It was about the communication and being able to communicate with New York for replays and all of that. All of the NFL stadiums are wired for that communication. So yes, they are very strict about what they require for their NFL teams. It is shocking, Gabe, to your point.
The grass isn't one of them.
They just allow the city of Chicago to do whatever they want to that field.
Soccer, high school, tractor pulls,
Kanye.
I don't think it's Kanye anymore, though.
Well, I'm pretty sure he still goes by Kanye.
No, what he changed
that,
his name.
No, but what is the whole thing that he's been
Donda,
doing?
Donda? Listening parties? I don't know. I can't.
It's the name of the album, isn't it?
He changed his name, though, just right? The,
is it Donda?
What?
Is it supposed to be, like, he
just,
Spanish?
What did Gabe say?
He just goes by Ye, excuse me.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Donda Ye?
It's Ye, isn't it?
Well, it's Y-E, but I think it's because it's Kanye. So I think he just goes by Y-E is Ye.
God, this is such a not hip show for us.
Yeah, so we are so white. Oh, we are the whitest people. Guys, this is how I felt interviewing Migos the other day, okay? I wasn't like some of my coworkers who kept calling them the Migos. Like, I at least knew that it wasn't the Twitter, the Facebook, the Migos. But I still was like, hey, 40-year-old white woman over here interviewing this hip-hop band. Cool. Awesome. Don't show your stripes, Jen. Jason Wilde is coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Ready? Out. Put.
All Packers, all the time.
They didn't wait and at least see if the hamstring got better. This would indicate to me that they're just sort of sick of them.
Okay, most of the time.
Almonds specifically up. Or all nuts?
Well, these nuts, those nuts, whatever nuts work.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know if that pressure's on Randall Cobb, though. To me, I think the pressure's on Rodgers for Cobb to be productive.
Brought to you by Boucher Automotive, with 16 different new car brands and over 35 pre-owned brands to choose from. Boucher Automotive. We are driven by you.
Great to have Jason Wilde joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Good morning, Jason. How are we doing today?
So I'm thinking about nicknaming you.
Me? Nicknaming me?
Yeah, after our discussion the other day, one of my favorite John actors is John Cusack, and he's in a movie called Gross Point Blank, and you want to normalize grossness. So I think I'm going to call you GPB.
Gross Point Blank?
GPB, because you like things that are gross.
Was that a good movie?
And I get right to the point. Yeah, and my brain sometimes goes blank.
See, Jason, I'd call her Say Anything.
Another John Cusack great. Maybe we should just call me John Cusack.
Yeah, there he is.
Jen Cusack.
High Fidelity. Wasn't that another John Cusack movie?
Yes, it was.
Yes, we could make that work if we wanted to. Thanks, Jason. I appreciate that. Always up for a nickname. What did you think of the article I'm assuming you saw? We can't read it now because it's behind a paywall, which, again, I understand the necessity for paywalls, especially when an article starts to get a lot of traction. But that explained the process yesterday of why they moved to Jacksonville, how they're trying to keep Green Bay Packers fans from traveling to this game.
Yeah, you can read that story at Madison.com, too, because my buddy Jeff Duncan, I did read his version of the story and then incorporated it, crediting him into mine, because it is really interesting. The fact that they went to the length of checking Expedia to compare flights for Green Bay, and I assume I hope they were smart enough to check, you know, Milwaukee and Madison flights, too, and comparing them to Miami, Tampa, and Jacksonville, and then also factoring in who goes on vacation to Jacksonville versus South Beach or Tampa. I thought it was really interesting that they put that much thought into it. I would say this to the Saints, though. I don't think that's going to stop Packers fans. Mm-hmm. Like, I think you may have made it more difficult and more expensive for them, but I don't think you're going to keep them out of the stadium in Jacksonville. So good job, good innovation, good thinking ahead. But this is I don't want anyone to quote-unquote view this as capitalizing on a crisis. But Hurricane Ida forcing the Saints to leave, if we're talking purely in football terms, this is hugely helpful to the Packers. Like, yes, it's going to be hot in Jacksonville, and that adds a different layer, and Chewy can get them the pickle juice that those guys used to drink in the 90s. But not having to deal with a full Superdome cheering against you for the second straight year after you just did it last year because of COVID, and you were able to go in there and score 37 points and not have to use a silent count, to me, that's a big bonus for the Packers.
Jason, I don't want to talk about injuries, but who would be the backup left tackle?
Yash Nyman. I mean, you could move. I think what they would do if something happened to Elgton Jenkins is they would move Billy Turner to left tackle and then start Dennis Kelly at right tackle. But again, you know, I don't know, and no one has asked, and maybe we should have, but, you know, we don't live in the past. But, like, I'd be curious to know why they didn't go Elgton Jenkins right away. I mean, if they had gotten more competent tackle play in the NFC Championship game, that's another factor, along with, you know, Rodgers not cashing in on the Jair interceptions and the Kevin King mistakes and everything else that happened. You know, not having David Bakhtiari, any one of those things, if they happen, whether it's Rodgers getting the offense points off the interceptions or King not making the mistakes or Bakhtiari not getting hurt, any one of those, I think they're probably in the Super Bowl, right? And so, you know, Rick Wagner and Billy Turner struggled in that game mightily. And I do think that was a significant reason why they lost. So I think that's the way they go. But I'll say this, you know, in a league where they don't wait for players very often, the Packers have been very patient with Yash Nyman, who has everything you want in a left tackle. I mean, the dude's 6'6". He started 32 games in college, but this is year three for him. And he played almost every snap of the preseason, and he is significantly better. I'm not saying he's Elgton Jenkins, and I'm certainly not saying he's David Bakhtiari, but he's a guy that I wonder if maybe they'd be better off because he spent all that time there. And you could just plug him in, and you don't have to do more juggling than you're already doing. So he's come a long way, and he deserves credit for that.
With the offensive line, Jason, and obviously not starting the season in New Orleans, I think is a good thing for, you know, two rookies and Josh Myers and Royce Newman. But how much time are the Packers going to give them to kind of figure it out as the season progresses? Because they're probably going to be some growing pains.
Yeah, there's no question there's going to be growing pains, right? I mean, how big is your concern?
I mean, Jen walked in the other day and goes, hey, there's no way that the Packers lose to the Saints, right? And I'm like, two rookies starting in the Superdome? That doesn't make me feel great. But now that they're not in the Superdome, I feel better about it. But they've got, I mean, in the first handful of weeks of their schedule, Jason, you know, they're going to be facing off a 49ers team that's got a really good defensive run. The Steelers are really good defensively. Washington is really good up front defensively. Like, and that's in the first half of the season. They've got some games that are very concerning.
Jason, my concern is this, okay? I would feel better if your rookies were center tackle, okay? Because then you can have a guard, kind of veteran guard, help out either way. But when you have two right next to one another, you can do things schematically to put them on an island, which gives me big concerns.
Yeah, I'm glad you point that out, because I'm going to talk to Corey Linsley this week about his experience as a rookie center in 2014 as compared to Josh Myers, what his experience might be in 2021. And I know Corey, the first thing Corey's going to say is how vital it was to be between Josh Sitton on one side and TJ Lang on the other. Like, that was a game changer for him. And I know that's what he's going to say even before I ask him the question. And Josh Myers is going to have Royce Newman on one side. And I'm still not 100% sure that he's going to have Lucas Patrick on the other side. Like, I just got the sense throughout camp, and I'm not the only one who feels this way, that they were trying to give everybody except Lucas Patrick the opportunity to win that job. Like they did to Lane Taylor a couple of years ago. I just got the sense that they wanted their young guys to take over. And so they gave Ben Braden every opportunity, and then he kind of fell out of the competition. Now he's on the practice squad. And they gave John Runyon every opportunity. So we're not going to see their offensive line intact during practice this week. They'll kick us out before we're able to see that. But I find myself very curious as to why you wouldn't want a veteran, and maybe they will start Lucas Patrick. Let me be clear. I just don't know. But I don't even think there should be a question. Like, can you imagine starting not just a rookie center and a rookie right guard, but then throw in a second-year left guard who played like 100 snaps last year? Like, that would tell me that they think they can be successful no matter who they put out there on the offensive line.
Jason, very quickly, let's go on the other side of the ball. What's the latest with Za'Darius Smith?
Well, you know, Jen, we're optimistic. We're hopeful. We don't know. I mean, this is one of the weirder scenarios. And another one of the problems is we haven't talked to the guy at all. I don't want to cast any aspersions. This just feels like there's something fishy. And maybe I'm wrong about that. And Brian Gutekunst said it. You know, he acknowledged Za'Darius' unhappiness, but what they did was, and what part of the unhappiness was in the contract realm, was that they converted all of his salary to signing bonus, but then didn't pay it out right away. But then at the start of camp, they gave him, I don't know if it was one of those big, like, publisher's clearinghouse checks or what, which seemed to be difficult to deposit, I would think, at an ATM, but they gave him $14 million. Like, they gave him all that money up front, so he has it now. And so now I wonder, is the back injury more significant than we thought? Because there were a lot of us, I'm not the only one on this either, who really wondered if the back injury, which is kind of like whiplash, you know, it's hard to prove and hard to disprove, how serious it was. So I would love to talk to Za'Darius Smith and put him on the spot and ask him some very pointed questions. And I don't think we're going to get that opportunity. So we're just going to have to wait and see if he's out there on September 12th. He didn't practice again yesterday, and now we're into the regular season. So it's very strange.
Well, and I think as much as we talk about the depth situation and who's going to be where on the offensive line, it seems like there's not a lot of depth behind him. If he's not there, you might see some guys with very little experience out there in his place.
Yeah, Chauncey Rivers, which is a great name. I don't know if he's a great pass rusher.
He had a sack in the last preseason game, Jason. Whoa. I know that because I used it for one of my highlights because there weren't a lot of highlights to play in that game.
Chauncey.
Well, you were fantastic on the first radio network, buddy.
Oh, thank you, pal. I appreciate that.
Great to have Jason Wilde joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as he does three times a week. Jason, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Cusack. Take care. Be good.
I'm okay with it. I like say anything's not bad, though.
Say anything's real good. If you love pizza, you can join Palermo's Pizza Crew. Palermo's Pizza has been making great-tasting frozen pizza right here in Wisconsin for over 55 years. They want you to be a part of their pizza crew. Palermo's Pizza has immediate openings for production team members. They offer a $1,000 sign-on bonus, competitive wages, and a great benefits package that includes, of course, free pizza. Visit PalermoVillaInc.com/careers, PalermoVillaInc.com/careers to apply today. Have fun while being part of a team that makes some of the best tasting pizza available. Palermo's, it's Wisconsin's hometown pizza.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And a lot of these guys are going to get a blow. And guys, they need it. Because don't look at him like that. You know what I mean. They're going to get a rest.
Okay.
They're going to get a reprieve. They're going to get to nap.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Like vacation.
A little Caribbean feel
to it. It's
like
when you roll up to the resort and they've got people over there playing the steel drums. They hand you a pina colada.
I'm sorry, I need a drink in my hand right now, I feel like.
You literally roll up and they roll one up.
This, of course, is the band that is keeping the Saints-Packers game from being at AT&T Stadium, correct?
Los Bukis.
Wow. Big following, huh?
Apparently.
I mean, they're playing at AT&T Stadium.
They sold out Chicago twice.
Really? I mean, you can only listen to so much of it.
I don't know.
Though,
who
right?
doesn't love a steel drum?
Yeah, for three songs and then get lost. Right?
So I can't imagine that you're a parrot head, huh?
Mm-mm.
No.
Not at all?
No.
Cheeseburger in Paradise?
Like, she'll play, my wife will play Bob Marley, and I'm like, all right, it's enough. Okay? Let's put on some Steely Dan. That's not old.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I mean, it is.
I
it's
think
okay.
if I put that on the poll, we're going to get a big return.
Is
yes,
Steely
it's
Dan old?
great to have Jason Wilde on the program. We talked about the Packers game being moved to Jacksonville. If you missed any of that interview, you can, of course, find it on Wisconsin On Demand, wherever you get your podcast. We did put it on the ESPN Milwaukee Twitter poll. Is it more of an advantage for the Packers to play in Jacksonville than for the Saints? Early returns say yes. And I think the Packers fans are taking it as a challenge. You want to keep us out of Florida? You're going to keep us out of Florida? Please. Please with you. We'll make our way down. We'll make the drive if we have to. I mean, I won't. But some people will. They'll drive down there for this game. Yesterday, Brian Gutekunst got a chance to chat with the media. And as you know, one of the big talking points this offseason was, well, how things are in Green Bay, right? Because Aaron Rodgers articulated to our friend Ken Main that his issues with what was going on in Green Bay came down to three things: the character, the culture, and the philosophy of the organization. So yesterday, Brian Gutekunst was asked about the culture in Green Bay.
Mark does a really good job of kind of setting this tone that there's no complacency. You know what I mean? There's standards that we have, but there's no complacency. It's always looking to become better, looking at your processes each and every year, each and every day. If there's a way you can get better, if there's a way that you can tweak things from a number of different areas. And, you know, it goes from things like, you know, Mike Halbach and his football technology staff and some of the things we're doing there, or Chris Carr and sports psychology and some of the things we're doing there. I think it's just a constant kind of thought of, okay, you know, let's look at everything, and you have some foundational principles you never really want to get away from, but if you can kind of continue to evolve and become better, then we're going to try to do that.
I don't think that any of those things that he referenced there are what Aaron Rodgers was talking about when he criticized the culture of Green Bay Packers. You think he was talking about, like, the support staff? Yeah, think he was saying that, like, the support staff is
that's
suspect?
More pampering. That's giving them everything, which is great, which is give them what they need to be successful. But, I mean, I just go back to the days, you know, in the night. You never saw Bob Harlan. I can't think of a time during the season where I actually saw, maybe outside of a game, but you just never saw him, you know?
But Bob's role.
Complacency. What's the complacency? You know? I
feel like complacency has been a criticism as the Packers as a whole, like under Ted Thompson, under, you know, Mike Sherman of, you know, that's the whole draft and develop thing. Like,
Well, and the all-in thing, right?
Exactly.
When you talk about going,
like,
all-in.
You're happy to be a team that's competitive every year, makes the playoffs every year, but you're happy with that. You don't want to make that move that's a little risky, but might put you over the top.
But my view of Mark Murphy is print money. That's what your job is. Your job's to print money, right?
That's not what he sees his job as.
Mark Murphy?
Yeah.
What do you think he sees his job as?
He sees his, well, he's more involved in the football operations. He inserted himself as the president of the organization to be more involved in football because he created, everybody's got to flow to him now. Instead of head coach to GM, GM
Which?
Handles all football things. Like, the GM reports to him, the head coach reports to him, and whatever Russ Ball's job is, he reports to him as well.
Okay, how does a business measure success?
Cash is king.
This is where it always gets a little dicey in the sports space because, of course, sports fans measure success by wins and losses. But a business, which is what a franchise is at the end of the day, measures it by how much money you're making. And again, I don't have the numbers in front of me. I don't have the spreadsheet in front of me. But my guess is the Packers are making a pretty penny every year. My guess is they're doing okay, right? We've joked around about the Scrooge McDuck vaults of money that they likely have as a franchise. Now, that's not to say that they have all that money to spend on players and whatnot, but the point remains, if Mark Murphy's job, like Chewy said, is to make money, Packers are doing really, really well in that space. It's having to reconcile also having success on the field.
But
and you always say, Chew, that the measure for success in Green Bay is Super Bowls.
Yeah.
So then how do you reconcile? Maybe they are making money hand over fist in Green Bay, but if they're not winning Super Bowls, do you consider them failing?
But they're not making money for anyone except themselves. There's no owner that's looking at the books and saying, ooh, I made X amount of dollars. And I was amazed. I was amazed how they threw money around. I mean, we built a brand new facility that was there for 3 years and like, we're going to tear it down. We're going to literally.
Yeah.
And we're like, holy cow, because this place prints money. It's different, you know. And Gabe, I'll equate it to golf courses. When you have an equity club, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're spending what they make, essentially, yeah. Right? I mean, they keep a little in the kitty, as opposed to a private club that has an owner, right, who's trying to take the money out of there. It's just equity. I've always learned equity clubs, to me, are always better.
Yeah, because right? They're putting money. They're going to put money back into the club.
They're
going to
put money back into it instead of put it in their
pocket. Where if you have one owner, like maybe he will, but maybe he'll just put it in his pocket.
Yeah, and that's kind of what Green Bay is, you know? That's why they can be, hey, we need a new SwimX, you know, a training pool. Well, here you go.
How long has Brian Gutekunst been in charge in Green Bay, Gabe?
So he took over in 18?
How many times do you think he's been asked about the culture in Green Bay in that time?
Not very often outside of this year.
Correct. This, to me, is that distraction that we've been worried about, okay? I know it's still the off season. Technically. Week one has not yet arrived. I don't want to be talking about the culture in Green Bay once the season starts. I don't want every time Brian Gutekunst steps in front of a microphone for people to be doing wellness checks on the culture. And the reason that we are right now is because Aaron Rodgers raised a stink, said, I don't like it. I don't like it. Where's our lady? I don't like it. Right? He said that was his thing.
But it's not going to be an issue because this is the last time Brian Gutekunst is going to speak.
Oh, but it's not going to be an issue as long as they win. Everything's great right now.
Yeah.
Did they go through a stretch where they're losing?
But everybody knows that the culture, I mean, I think everybody knows, that the culture criticisms are directed pretty pointedly at Murphy and Gutekunst.
Yes.
And after the preseason, like, Gutekunst has to speak during the preseason. Once the regular season starts, general manager doesn't have to speak.
He doesn't have to speak at all.
If he chooses not to speak, like, that's what famously Ted Thompson, even if they, like, put a contract extension out there, McCarthy had to handle all of that because Ted wasn't going to get in front of a microphone because he didn't have to. Now, Gutekunst has, you know, when they signed Bakhtiari to his extension last year, he came out, he spoke, but that's completely up to him. If he doesn't want to speak for the rest of the year after yesterday, he does not have to.
Well, then we can beat up on him, kind of force him to the microphone if they don't do well.
I think Goody right? would speak. I think Goody, if he felt compelled, he would speak.
Yes, if he feels compelled
to. That's where he's super unlike Ted. I think he's like, if he feels like, I'm going to say it this way, if he feels like his feelings are getting hurt a little bit or he's being boxed in by somebody and he feels like there's too much criticism against him, I think he'd feel compelled to speak, even though, like Gabe said, he absolutely could just let it all go.
Don't want to have that even as a potential situation headed into the season or something that could rear its ugly head at any point during the season, right? I don't need progress reports as the season goes on the culture, the character, and the philosophy of the Green Bay Packers. All I care about is what you're doing on the field. And unfortunately, the drama from this offseason is going to make that a conversation if, like you said, Chu, they don't do well.
But this is the problem, Jen, where they're trying to kind of box out the media, you know? If they just give us access and answer our questions, right, then everything's fine. When they just run and hide, right? And we talked about it in the offseason. We have to give our opinion as to what we think is going on. If they're not going to talk, right?
Yeah.
So if he's going to run and hide, fine. We'll draw our own conclusions.
I do think that Goody is giving you a peek inside his thought process when he immediately goes to there's no complacency when asked about the culture in Green Bay. And I think he's defending the way that he chooses to build the roster. You know, he's been criticized for letting guys go before he should have. I think he's defending why he makes those decisions. He's saying because there's no complacency. We're not sitting here getting the warm fuzzies over guys. We're looking at them as a commodity. We're looking at them as what can you do for us on the field? And if it looks like maybe you're in a decline, we're going to move on. Whether you're Aaron Rodgers, whether you're Clay Matthews, whether you're Randall Cobb and all, and the list goes on and on, right? So I think that was a little bit, to me, a little insight into why he does things the way that he does them. Brian Gutekunst also talked about Jordan Love's camp and whether or not Aaron Rodgers has been a part of roster-making decisions. We're going to get to that right after this.
But first, Chewy, We need to talk a little bit of something when it comes to diamonds. I mean, teams always looking for those diamonds in those rings, but if you're looking for diamonds in your personal life, there's only one place to go.
And I got 95, well, now 96. I had 95 because one was gone from my ring. And you know what? If I lose another, I know where I'm going. I am going to the jewelry center. Let's be honest, most guys don't have a clue when it comes to buying jewelry. Gabe just got engaged. He did a smart thing and got his ring from the jewelry center. They also do in-house repairs on watches and other jewelry. Like I said, my Super Bowl ring. I know where I'll be taking it to. The jewelry center, they got three locations. Stop into Greenfield, Brookfield, and Burlington. And if my wife can't tag along, she can look through all the many styles of diamonds and other fine cuts at shoptjc.com. I'm living proof. Happy wife, happy life. The jewelry center will make it happen. Brookfield, Greenfield, or Burlington, or online at shoptjc.com.
We.
You think when I'm watering the plant and it's full, it's sitting there going, no, no more. You're drowning me.
I do, and that's why your wife won't let you water the plants.
Literally.
Anymore.
On 94.5 ESPN.
You can listen to Wilde and Tausch after our program every single day on ESPN Wisconsin. Our buddy Tausch, is he back today? I think he's back today. Yeah?
He is back today.
So
can't confirm.
Our buddy Tausch put a interesting tweet out last night saying, Team Fantasy Draft, you can start any player on that team's roster, and I believe Green Bay's roster is better than Kansas City's roster. Am I right? So let me translate that for you. Head-to-head, each position, quarterback, quarterback, wide receiver, running back, tight end. Are we going as far as defense and kicker as well, or are we kind of just going to stick to those skill positions?
Probably just stick to the skill positions.
You go defense, though.
Yeah.
You don't have to do kicker. I mean, kickers are kickers.
Good to know. Is he right? Is Green Bay's fantasy roster better than Kansas City's fantasy roster? Is Mahomes better than Rodgers?
Yes.
I think so too. Like at this point,
not a half a click.
But from a fantasy standpoint, I think Mahomes is going to get more points on a weekly basis. He's going to average more points on a weekly basis than Rodgers. Then you go to the running backs. You've obviously got Aaron Jones and you've got Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Now, Helaire is young.
Yep.
Right, and I don't think he's a rookie, so what are the expectations last year? Probably didn't meet expectations because they were sky high. Was he injured
too.
A little bit? Yeah,
remembering that. Got dinged up a little bit.
So who's that?
I would go Jones.
Aaron Jones.
Half a click.
Williams and Dylan.
I don't know. I mean,
we don't
Dylan's
know a
got
lot
the
about
potential,
Dylan.
But... hasn't really shown it yet. I thought he'd get a little more play in the preseason.
But again, if he's going to factor in, I mean, you think about all the carries and all the touches that Jamal Williams got for the Packers last year. Like, those touches are up for grabs, and those touches are likely going to be going to A.J. Dillon, so he became part of the protected crew.
And what would you do with it? Push it?
Sure.
Yeah, push it.
I'm reading an article here, though, that says the Kansas City Chiefs released Damian Williams.
Okay,
yes,
then I'm
but
going
they still
with Dylan.
Have, their backup is Darrell Williams.
Oh, thank you very much.
They have that Williams makes, and Williams.
I was like,
I'd go with Dylan then, huh?
Only because we don't know anything about the other guy.
Yeah.
because they had too many Williams, we couldn't keep them straight.
This one is fascinating to me, though. Davante Adams and Tyreek Hill. I mean, we just did the rankings the other day that had Tyreek Hill above Davante Adams in the ESPN rankings.
I would go Davante.
I'd go Davante just because
by
he's a little
slim
bit bigger.
Margin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like he can do more like red zone targets, stuff like that.
And if you're talking PPR.
Okay.
Right?
Now, what about your number two wide receiver? First of all, who is it?
For the
Green
Chiefs?
Bay.
Oh, for Green Bay?
Lazard.
Probably going to be MVS.
You think so?
Yeah. Especially with all the report. I mean, everybody was saying how great MVS looked in camp and how much it appears that he has grown.
How about his hands? Have they gotten better?
Yes.
Okay.
Have they grown at all?
Have they grown? Who's Kansas City's number two?
Mecole Hardman. Yeah, Mecole Hardman.
He is a Tyreek Hill type where he's a little bit smaller with a bunch of speed.
Until MVS shows me that he has the drops under control, I'll push that.
Well, why don't we put it on the poll? Who is the Packers' number two wide receiver? Who's their WR2? Is it Lazard or is it MVS? What do you think, Ashy?
I agree. We should put it on the poll.
Fantastic. Love it when a plan
works out. Great takes.
And then let's go to your favorite position on the field.
Kelsey.
Kelsey is way, right? Like way above.
Travis Kelsey is
full click.
A full click. A full half click. A click more half than a cup. Full
click. And a half?
I don't know. Tanyan? I don't know. But Kelsey is better. We're just going to see if Tanyan.
I mean, Travis Kelsey is the best tight end in the league.
Really?
He's the best tight end in the league.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
It's not really close.
Okay.
Were you making a case for old man Gronk down there for your favorite team?
No, I'm saying Kittle.
Old man Gronk.
Kittle? Kittle's a much better blocker than... Why are you so anti-blocking?
Because why are you anti-blocking?
I'm not. Yeah, I was a blocker.
Yeah, but you don't block now.
That's a good point. That is a very good point. I'm going with Kelsey.
Attaboy, I knew you'd come around.
So it sounds like we think that Kansas City might be better.
No. I think it's a push, but Tampa Bay's better.
We said Mahomes is a half a click over. What?
So
you heard me.
What?
You heard me.
Well, say it again just in case anybody at home didn't hear you.
I don't think if you're doing clicks, my click, 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 click. Tampa Bay's got a lot more clicks.
Ooh, that's interesting. Tampa
Bay. You want to go through it after top of the hour?
Did Chewie just try to tease us out?
I think he did.
All right, can you do it for another minute?
You know what he's doing? He's showing us that he can.
We'll need more than a minute.
Can you tease it
for a minute?
We have to tease it for a minute because we have like a minute left in the segment. A tease or tease for a minute?
Tease for a minute.
So
I gotta tease it for a whole minute?
Yeah. Let's see what you got. Okay, let's put 60 seconds on the clock. Let's see if Chewie can tease what we are going to do for the next segment for full 60 seconds starting now.
Tampa Bay. I don't.
Why do you want to bring up Tampa Bay?
Because they're good and they're the Super Bowl champs. Not saying they're going to win it.
And you think you can make a case for them as being a better challenger to the Packers and the Chiefs?
Like
15 seconds.
The weapons they have on offense.
I'm trying, Gabe.
The defense, the gap between Tampa Bay's defense and Green Bay's.
Like Strahan-esque?
Who's that?
You Michael know that Strahan? You're not teasing it. You know you're literally doing the segment
I'm
right
trying
now.
To stop
you're just
them.
Supposed
Shop
to be
at the
teasing.
Gap.
We're only 30 seconds into the tease.
You're supposed to be saying, they've been talking about Kansas City and Green Bay, but what about Tampa Bay? If you go head-to-head with Tampa Bay versus Green Bay and Kansas City, I could make a case that Tampa Bay is the best team fantasy-wise, but what do you think? 800-990-3776. Give us a call. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewie right after this.